Let's turn over real quick to Philippians 4:19. We read this last week. We won't spend a lot of time here. But as we take our offering, if you need an offering envelope, can you please raise your hand? The ushers will make sure you get one. Philippians 4:19, we spent some time here last week, probably won't be the last time we spend some time here, but we'll just read it today. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He said, "My God shall supply all your need." Notice that he said, "My God." Paul knew that it was his God. He didn't know it secondhand. He said, "My God, I know my God." And I know with what, and we talked about that last week, these people were supporting Paul. They were helping the gospel to get out. And he told them without flinching, "My God will supply all your need." He didn't say maybe, he didn't waffle, he just said, "This will happen." Why? Because Paul knows his God, and Paul knows what his character is. Paul knows what he will do, and this is part of the character of God, that he takes care of his own. And if we'll follow him and we'll do what he's called us to do and do our part, don't ever let anybody tell you that it costs to serve God. That's a lie. Who would want you to think that? A particular fellow would want you to think that it costs to serve God and you shouldn't serve God or else, you know, you won't have any fun or, you know, you'll be poor. What particular individual would want you to believe that? We do have an adversary, his name is Satan, and he goes about spreading these type of lies because he tries to talk men out of serving the Almighty. But it's a lie. I said it's a lie. There is no better life than serving God. And financially, you mean to tell me the king of the universe, you get into his service and you better watch out, everything is just going to go south for you. That's a lie. The king of the universe, if you go and serve him, he will take care of you. Again, we've said it over and over. People have twisted it because, yes, the Bible talks about loving money. That's not the same as using money for the kingdom of God and having resources. It's not the same thing. The world will go after money and they'll do stupid stuff to get money. That's a whole lot different than you going out for God and him using money to help you. Completely different. And he will do that. He says it right here. My God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is God limited in funds? No. No, God's not limited. God knows how to get to us what we need. He is a good God all the time, and he will supply. So as we're given to him, you just have to know this. If there were no God, then we're foolish to go and to give right now. You know, it's just another organization. But there is a God, and as we give, we're not giving to men. We're not giving into an organization. The Bible says that Jesus receives tithes. He sees it as a sweet-smelling aroma to him. You are offering to him, and there are certain laws put into place that the king of the universe has legal ability, legal right to come into our lives and do certain things for us. Hallelujah. He is good. So when we're giving to him right now, and we are giving to him, you say, "Well, I'm making the check out to Andover Christian Center." We're giving to the Lord. Right. We're giving to him and his work. And to do, and just it's a privilege and an honor to be in his family doing what he would have us to do. And so as we give in to him, we're saying, "God, I honor your word and I'll do what you tell me to do. And I just thank you that according to this verse, you'll supply all my need," and just expect him to do it. And he does. He's so faithful. If you have your tithes and offerings, just hold it in your hand, raise it to the Lord. Otherwise, just raise your hand to the Lord. Lord God, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. You are so faithful, so good, so generous. Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, as we bring our tithes and offerings to you right now, we bless you and we expect you to take care of us just like you promised in your word. But Lord, we want to see your kingdom go forward. We want to see your work go forward. And so we expect you to do what you said you would do. And we thank you for it. We trust you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. Ushers, will you please receive the offering? Thank the Lord. I tell you what, you live for God, you see this type of stuff. Today, when we're announcing that, when you go and believe God on certain things and you step out faith, you watch this. If you're in faith and you actually believe, when stuff actually shows up, that's not when you jump around and get excited. You realize we announced this like a year and a half ago. We said we're going ahead with this. There was a lot. I mean, people were, it was charged. And ever since, I'm telling you, we walked out. They were just like, I mean, we signed the thing and left. It was just, let's get together and go. We were like, we should celebrate or something. It was just like, but, you know, this already happened a long time ago in our hearts. I mean, it was nothing like, ooh, the big signing. We already made the decision, and there were a lot of things trying to push us off behind the scenes. We've already pushed past all that. I'm not saying us, you know, through the grace of God. We already made the decision. So it was just a matter of signing that thing. And then telling you guys today, it's like, yeah, like you said, about time. Well, sometimes things take longer on the outside, but it already happened on the inside. And that's the way it ought to be. When you do something, step out in faith, I'm telling you, and I'll tell you this right now, and I've told you this before, when the people show up and things happen, that's not, people are going to be, wow, look at this. I'm telling you, it's happening right now. Things are putting in motion right now. People are coming. Right now. And when we see them show up is not when you say, well, glory to God, look what God did. God's doing it right now. It's his idea. It's not our idea. So when you do what he tells you to do, you watch, he's going to do what he already had in mind to do. He's the one that has the idea. He said, if you'll do this and do this, I can do this. Some people get back and say, well, I'm just going to do this for God, and then he has to. No, he doesn't have to do anything. You don't try to do something. Well, if I really go out on the limb, then God's got to move. Sorry, no, he doesn't. It means you're out on the limb. He's got to save me. Nope, it doesn't work that way. But if we say, God tells you to do something, then you say, okay, and you step out, well, then it was his idea. Glory to God. So it's just neat to see him work. Things are going to just keep happening. It's just such a privilege and an honor to serve him. Every time I look out and see you guys weren't here 7 years ago. I looked out, I didn't see this. People say, well, it's obvious now, all these people. No, it wasn't obvious. I don't take you guys for granted. I don't. You say, well, it's just these people are here now. No. And so it's going to be, you know, down the road, you know, if God doesn't move you all on different ones, people that show up then are going to think, well, it's always been like this. There's all these people here. No, it wasn't. Because you'll think back in this room, you say, no, you weren't here. There wasn't all those people here. Right? It's the same thing. God will keep just doing that. And no, I don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. But it's just such a blessing to walk with him. Why don't you take a moment, greet a few folks around you, and then we'll get into the Word. What's up, buddy? Well, praise God. Does everybody have a scripture sheet? Everybody have a Bible? I just asked that. Nowadays, it doesn't seem like anybody ever needs one, so, but ask it anyway in case somebody didn't get one. Praise you, Lord. Are you guys ready? All right, let's join together. Let's agree for the rest of this time. Since we're all involved, let's come into agreement. Lord God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are such a good God. We thank you for your graciousness. You're just so good to us. And so we just look to you right now. We look to your word. We look to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we agree as touching this thing on this earth, those of us here, for the people here, and for all those that will hear this recording. Lord God, we ask you right now and agree for utterance, for unction in the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would get exactly what we need right now. For this moment, we look to you and we'll flow with you. We'll go wherever you want us to go. But we look to you, we look to your word, we don't look to a man, we don't look to man's wisdom. We look to the mighty Holy Spirit, the great teacher, to fill in the blanks, to teach us what we need right now. And Lord, we say that we won't esteem it lightly as that word comes. Lord, we'll esteem it as the word of the living God, quickened by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we say that we'll take it to heart. Lord, we'll do it according to your word, and we'll do it by your grace and your strength, and we won't shove it off. We won't ignore it. We'll esteem it, and we'll be blessed because of it, and our lives will change because of it. And we just thank you for it in advance, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Before I really get going here, I just want to encourage you, if you weren't here last week, go back and listen to that message. I wasn't planning to go that direction that I went. I mean, we were planning on going more this direction today, but I believe that was the Lord, and there was a strong anointing on it. You know, the word is always anointed. There can be more or less anointed unction to speak different times, but there was a strong anointing on that. And we talked about believing God now. And like I said, I didn't have any inclination to go that way, but we went with it. I believe it was the Holy Spirit. That means God changed? No, that means we just caught up with Him. He doesn't tell us all the time. That means we just go with Him. We're not going to stick to what we have if He's going a different direction. If he says that's our message, that's our message. So I believe we're going with what's on that sheet right now, and I do. But that's why we pray beforehand. We give it over to him. And that's why we agree. See, I can be thinking I'm going this way and get up here. But when we pray together, we're all joining our hearts and saying, okay, we're all in the same boat. God, show us, and God can work with that. You know, we're a congregation. And so that's why we do that. Don't you want what he has for us now? A fresh word? What we need right now. You don't want something canned, right? I don't think we ever do canned. But we want what he wants, and so we're going to go with him. That doesn't mean you don't prepare. Doesn't mean you don't have things. That just means you're going to go with him. And so that's what we attempt to do, but I just encourage you, go back and listen to that message. Praise God. Let's turn over to Ephesians 3, verse Ephesians 3, verse 14. Praise God. Before we get going here, I just want to say I'm so thankful for Rebecca. Not only that she's my, of course, she's my mother-in-law, and she's a precious lady, but I'm just thankful that she's been so faithful while we've been here, and, you know, to do toddlers, to do whatever, and I'm just so thankful that we can leave and be fully confident that she'll do what's best for the congregation, and that she's a gifted teacher of the Word. You know, she went to Rhema. She pastored with her husband for a period of time. She's been in the ministry in different various forms all her life. And so she received the same training, for the most part, I did. I went to a third year pastoral ministry. And I'm just so thankful. So thank you. And I'm just thankful for the rest of our volunteers that, you know, you guys don't miss a beat. You know, we can leave and that you fill in the different areas. And that's just such a blessing. You know what we did like the first year when we left? We didn't have church because there wasn't anybody to do anything. And there was, you know, one person there. What are they going to do? I mean, preach to themselves? No. So we didn't have church. And you know what? Nobody knew. Except for us five or six or seven that we didn't have church because there wasn't anybody out there that knew one way or another. So that's what we did for the first several years, okay? And we put it in the bulletin and we put it up the website. And, you know, it wasn't too hard to communicate with the handful of people. Hey, we're not having church, okay? Yeah, well, don't do that now. So it's changing. So thank you guys all. It's just such a blessing. Ephesians 3:14. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and depth, or width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This has been our text as we've been talking about love. And you know, of course, the time that we're in right now, season, people talk all about love, and it's the season of love, and they call it, you know, Christmas spirit and everything. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of that. But what we're really talking about is this right here. We're talking about love, God's love, not men's love or ideas about love and, you know, just get into the mood of being like this to your fellow man, you know, one time a year and all this. This is how, as Christians, we're supposed to be known by this. This is, and we're going to read that scripture, I believe, in a moment. People are supposed to know we're Christians because of this, because of love. And God, and the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is saying here that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you being rooted and grounded in this love. That's what we've been talking about. We're talking about different facets. If you haven't been here, I encourage you to go back, listen to the messages, because these build on each other. And we've gotten to a certain point, talked about different things, different aspects to get us to where we are today, to be able to talk about the things we're going to talk about today. But we said how the Holy Spirit has been given, and we've had the love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us walk in this love. And that God will strengthen us and help us and root us and ground us in this love. And we were talking about that walking in love is walking in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is given partly to help us do that very thing. He strengthens us and helps you to do this. In other words, you don't have to do this and work it up in and of yourselves. And so walking in love is walking in the Spirit. We also talked about, got into that love is the fulfillment of the law. In other words, for the New Testament Christian, you have a command. It's to walk in love. If you walk in love, in God's kind of love, you will fulfill every godly commandment there is. You don't have to worry about all the details. You just be sure you're walking in love. You're not going to do anything against any law, godly law, anywhere. And that's where we touched on that. Let's look at your sheet and a pick up there, and then we'll move into what we have for today. Romans 13:8. Let's look on your sheet there for the sake of time. Romans 13:8, it says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And we talked about the fact that the law was given to people that were spiritually dead. So, God, there is a lot of detail, and it is godly, but you're talking about people that don't have what we've talked about thus far in the series. They did not have the love of God poured out in their heart and the Holy Spirit as their helper to help them do that. You realize that? David did not have that. Moses did not have that. Abraham, the father of faith, did not have that. You and I have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us, and we have the very love of God poured out in our heart. See, that's different. See, they couldn't say, well, you just walk in the love of God. They didn't have that. They didn't know that. Jesus had not died yet. It's a different thing. So, you know, there was these different things that are laid down. It is just and holy and good. And as you see these things, I don't think anybody would disagree. You know, well, you know, we should kill somebody now. It says, you shall not murder in the old covenant, but we're on the new covenant. Murder away. No, nobody would say that. Or commit adultery. No. It's still, if you walk in love, you're not going to do that. You won't. You're not going to cheat on your spouse if you love the person. I don't care what the commandment is. You're not going to hurt somebody you love, right? That was really weak, you guys. You're not going to hurt somebody you love, right?
Right.
Right. You're not going to cheat on them. You're not going to do something to, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to covet what they have. And the Bible's saying here that love, how we're supposed to walk, it fulfills every law, every godly law. Somebody could pass a law that's not godly, and men do. So I'm not talking about every law, but any godly law, any law that would line up with the Word of God. If you walk in love, you don't need to have all these laws that people tell. You know, they follow all these things or make all these things to cover all the loopholes for people that don't want to do what's right. Well, it says that, but that doesn't mean I can't do this, so here we go. And if you love somebody, you're not going to try to skirt like that, right? Those laws are all made for people that are trying to find a way to get around them. So you got to have this law. Well, that didn't work. We've got to pass this law, so that didn't work. Well, we got to fill in this blank. I mean, the tax code is a very good example of this. We go through all these hoops every year, or your accountant does, or something, for this very reason. Because every loophole has got to be covered, because it's like, it's very plain if you're following the spirit of the law, but somebody's going to find a way to circumvent the letter, and government does not want you doing that. Right? So we have this big tax code we have. That's exactly why. But if you're walking in love with your neighbor, with your fellow brethren, you don't need to have everything spelled out to you. If on your job, you would know this. If you got to have every little thing spelled out for you, or else you're going to go off, your boss does not want to work with you very long. On the other hand, you say, go do this. And a person goes off and does even more than what they asked. That's what people are looking for. Is that not right?
Yes.
Well, God has poured out His love in our hearts so that we can do His will. He doesn't have to tell you every little thing. You realize everything, you could be following the letter of the law but you're completely violating the spirit, and you do something that you're not exactly breaking the quote-unquote law, but you're overriding love. Your conscience is bothering you. The Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention, but you override it. You say something to somebody, little snide. If the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention down there, follow it. If you get out of, now I'm not talking about an overactive conscience. Some people have to be delivered from that too. You're always apologizing for everything because you think you might have got out of love somehow, and so you got to do it. Follow up, you got to cover everything, or else maybe something bad's going to happen to you. Well, I just don't want to be out of love because there's people that have gotten this way with love, and so I don't want to get out of love because then something bad's going to happen to me, and they're really not walking in love at all because they're really concerned with themselves. If I did something to you and I messed up, something bad's going to happen to me. So I'm going to apologize to you, not really because I care about you, but I care about me. See, that's not love. That's selfishness. That's really not love. And God did not set this up. It is really easy. Let me tell you. You follow the Spirit of God on the inside of you, just like what, and if you haven't heard the series on being led by the Spirit of God, go listen to it. God's going to lead you, number one, by the inward witness, by following peace. Okay? You will know when. You say, how do I know? I just don't know if I sinned. I've asked that question before. But you think, oh, it's just so black and white. No, the devil will get you going in circles if you let him. He'll get you knocked around and turned around to where, well, did I do that wrong? Should I said that wrong? I don't know. Maybe I should go apologize. I don't know. What if it? It's not really that hard. Let me just sum it up for you. Of course, you're not going to violate anything in the Word. The Word says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't try to get around it. Don't try to, say, well, we're in the new covenant. No, if the Bible says, don't do it, then don't do it. Okay, just don't even try to rationalize it, because your conscience is going to condemn you, and if it condemns you, you're not going to be able to come to God boldly. You're going to look for a way around it, and God loves me anyway. Yeah, God loves you, but your conscience is going to bother you, and it's a horrible way to live. So just don't mess with it. If there's something that you're dealing with somebody in, and your conscience bothers you, then take care of it. If you have an unsettled feeling, if there's nothing there you did wrong, then don't go making something up. Okay? If you didn't violate a law, and you didn't really do anything wrong, and you really don't feel bad about it, but you think you might have done something wrong, so you better cover your bases, don't. Don't do it. Because the devil always accommodate you. He'll try to make you think you still did this, you did this. Well, why didn't you do that? And a lot of it's just noise to get you running around and not just walking out the plan of God. The fact is, it's noise. Throw it, get sassy with him. Throw it back in his face. What law exactly did I violate? Where in the Bible, show me what I did wrong? A lot of times the things you think you're doing wrong are actually you just haven't done something perfect. That's different than actually sinning. Did you know that? You guys are looking at me. People will, see, they think, I have to do it all perfect. And I didn't do it quite right this time, therefore I failed God, therefore I have to repent. I'm telling you, most of the time, it's the devil condemning you. Let me ask you something. If you told a child to do something a certain way, they did their best, everything they had, and I'm talking about, they're following certain instructions or whatever. I'm not talking about don't touch that thing and they came back and touched it. What I'm talking about, here, you do this project, you draw this or whatever, and they didn't do a perfect job of it. They color out of the lines. They made the mistake. Would it be just for you to come in and say, you idiot, why did you do that? You didn't do it right. Repent. You would look at somebody came in and somebody was doing that to some child, you'd say, what is wrong with you? Right? But ask yourself the question, honestly, The things that you get beat up on, that the enemy's beating you up on, do they fall into that category? In other words, you are actually doing your best to do something. You didn't do it right. It didn't quite turn out right. You didn't have anything that you actually broke a law or did something against God, and yet the enemy will say you messed up. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Has anybody ever experienced that? Don't raise your hand. That's different than you going and saying, I know what to do. The Bible says, don't do this, don't steal. I'm going to steal. Then you better repent. I'm telling you, people are confused with what we're talking about right now, though. And so they are thinking they need to repent all the time, or they're out of love all the time, when in fact, all you're talking about is they were just living a human, imperfect life. They have good intentions. They're doing what they need to do. They didn't actually sin against anybody. And yet the devil is beating them up and saying, you didn't walk in love. And you know what that leads to? Somebody that is always asking for forgiveness, always saying, I did it wrong, always apologetic, even when there's nothing to apologize for. It's wrong. It doesn't help anybody. It's not love, in other words. Some people think they're walking in love, and all it actually is that they're condemned all the time. And so they're overcompensating all the time. I'll go the extra mile, and they say, I'm just really walking in love. No, what you're really doing is trying to salve your conscience. Amen? There's a difference. Walking in love has to do with the other person. That means you want their best. That means you're not always thinking about what you're doing. If you're always thinking about what you're doing and not thinking about what the other person's doing, what if I did this? What if I did this wrong? What if it happens? It's all about you. That's not love. I said that's not love. It's not love. Somehow you got into legalism somewhere, and you started thinking, the devil's good at twisting things. Anybody ever notice that? Yeah. He takes a truth and he twists it. And so what he tries to do then is drive people away from the truth, and he gets people into error. And what he wants people to do is throw the baby out with the bathwater. Has anybody ever noticed this? Yeah. Has he done this with healing? Yes. Done it with prosperity? Yes. Done it with the gifts of the Spirit? Yes. Deliverance? Yes. You think he's done it with love? Yes, he has. This truth we're talking about, that our job is one commandment, walk in love. But you know what happened? People heard that. They tried to take it to an extreme. They have an overactive conscience. Now they think everything is, well, I don't want to get out of love. Now they've made it a law. Even though it is a law to follow God and follow your conscience, they make it legalistic. And now I don't want to walk in love with that. If I'm not walking in love, then I might get sick. And then you know what? The devil is so mean. I've heard people do this, and more than one. It's just, that have this thought, and I'm sure people in this room have. If you had teaching on walking in love, people say, so they'll get sick, and their first reaction is, did I get out of love somewhere? I don't know. Did I get out of love? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? You know what that does? That steals any kind of confidence from you. When something comes on, instead of resisting and saying that it has no place on me, you know what it does? What did I do wrong? I did something to deserve this. Something's wrong somewhere. And so they start searching. And then they look at, well, maybe I treated this person wrong. I don't know. I didn't think I was doing anything, but I'll go apologize for that. And they're trying. What does that look like? That looks like trying to follow a bunch of set of rules to make sure that I get the right thing. What does that sound like? That sounds like the old covenant. That sounds like you have to do this, 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 and this. It doesn't sound like Jesus came and that we're really relying on him. And the fact is, what people do is they end up constantly making stuff up, although they wouldn't put it that way. The devil accommodates and is constantly helping you to think of something you maybe did wrong. And so you're going around always feeling condemned. Always feeling like, I probably did something wrong. I should have done that. Well, I shouldn't do that. So you apologize for this. Somebody says something. Well, I'm sorry. Maybe I offended you there. And the person wasn't even thinking about you. Something happens. You know, they come in to work. And you said something to them the other day. And they come in and they're like talking to you. And they have a certain look on their face. And so, you know, kind of maybe not as friendly. And so then you think, maybe I said something wrong. They're probably mad at me today. It was probably what I said yesterday. I didn't mean anything back then, but now that I think about it, they could have taken it wrong. And all the while, this person has something going on at home, has nothing to do with you, is processing something, so they're talking at you, and it doesn't seem like they're paying attention to you because they're distracted. They're thinking about something they have at home going on. And then you come back and go, man, I'm really sorry for what I said. And they're like, what? You know, what I said yesterday, I mean, I feel horrible about it. What did you say? Honestly, I didn't notice. No, you know when I said this. Okay. It's all right, man. I didn't even notice. Hey, so how are things going with you? Man, my daughter is sick. And I've been going through, and you realize it had nothing to do with anything I said. I'm telling you, the devil, he'll put that stuff in your head over and over. And if you live like this, if you're not strong in what God has actually told us to do in the new covenant, you'll always feel like there's something maybe I did wrong. And you won't get bold to say, shut up. I've done, my conscience is clear. I haven't done anything wrong. I have broken no law. And anything that I have, I've already taken care of with God. And he doesn't remember it. And I'm not remembering it. And I'm fine. Now get out of here. Do you see the difference? You have to know who you are. You have to know what love is and is not. See, we're talking about walking in this love with other people. Number one, you got to know what it is and is not in relation to you. Otherwise, you're going to be a doormat. And people will see you coming a mile away. The world will. Oh, you're a Christian. You think you have to do everything right. Oh, here we go. I can manipulate this. I can make you feel like you're not doing stuff, and you'll just do it because you don't want to get on the wrong side of God or whoever you believe in. That's the way they think. No, love is not being a doormat. Love is not just doing everything for everybody else. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Not more than yourself, not less than yourself, as yourself. So you love your neighbor the way you love yourself. That means you have to love yourself. That means you have to respect yourself. You need to believe God and what he has done for you and realize that he did the same thing for your brethren. But once you receive it for yourself, now I can talk to you. Now I can just flow in love to you. Why? Because I know God loves me. Somebody tries to convince you, well, you ought to be doing that, this or that. Says who? Who says? Because people try to get you to do all kinds of things. You know that? Well, you ought to do this. Who? So, who are you? You're not my Lord. Well, you know, you're a Christian. You should be. Okay, so you're not, and you're going to tell me, a Christian, what to do? Well, the Bible says. How do you know what the Bible says? Don't ever let a non-Christian tell you what the Bible says. Well, the Bible says you should not judge. Don't start quoting stuff out of context. The Bible says you just ought to, you know, you gotta just tolerate everybody. No. Don't start quoting the Bible out of, don't let a non-Christian quote the Bible to you, tell you how a Christian ought to act. That's nonsense. Now we gotta know what the Word says, what we need to do, and what God expects from us. And I'm telling you, this will raise your confidence with God just tons. Because you stop looking like that child we talked about. If you're constantly thinking that I drew the picture wrong, see, I drew the picture, I tried to do it, oh, I didn't do it like a, you know, somebody that's 20 years older than me and has art school behind them. I did my best, and you're expecting to get slapped down for it. I tried. I did what I knew to do. I'm not perfect yet. Anybody perfect in here? Anybody planning on being perfect while you live in this body? Good. Now, I'm not, see, what people will twist it is though, well, I blew up at you and I cursed you out and I, you know, knocked you out, but I'm not perfect. No, that's a different thing. That, see, this is where it starts slipping and you start, this is where people get confused. Well, just, you know, God just loves me anyway. Yeah, God loves you, but what are you going to do about my broken nose? You know? Well, I could just, you know, I'm not perfect. I just rip my spouse upside one down the other, but you know, it's just me. You better do something about that. That is wrong. And your conscience will bother you about it until you get it right with God, and then you got to go to God and go to the person and say, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. You do need to repent of that. See, your conscience will bother you until you change it, period. That is not walking in love, and you will absolutely not have confidence before God for that. And people have, see, they start, see, when you confuse these two, if you confuse these two, people cross their effort in just life, like drawing the picture with, you know, I'm going to lie to the teacher, and they think, I'm perfect, I just lie sometimes, it's okay, you love me, right? And it's not the same thing. And so because they have this overactive conscience, and they are not doing things perfect, like drawing the picture, just trying to do things, they feel condemned, and then they wash it over into everything else, like, well, it's okay if I cuss you out, and it's okay if I, you know, steal, because God loves me anyway, and it's okay, and it's not. And see, now we're confused. But then people that are actually not doing anything wrong feel completely beat up all the time, like they've sinned all the time. Can anybody relate to this? That's horrible way. That is a horrible way to live. But I know the devil, if he cannot keep you from God, what he's going to do is twist the word of God to try to just make it ineffective in your life. And try, if he can't get you to stop from coming to God, what he's going to try to do is keep you condemned and ineffective all the time by lying to you and telling you you're messing up all the time, and you're sinning when you're not actually sinning. That will discourage anybody. Do you know that? If you constantly told a child that he was doing his best to stay inside the lines, and you said, you idiot, I told you to stay inside the lines, and he's like, this is the best I could do. You laugh. I'm serious. This is what people do. It's like a person is doing everything they know to do to serve God. They're not actually breaking any rules. They just, you're doing the best to serve God, and they stepped out and they messed up on something. I'm not talking about they hurt anybody. They didn't sin against anybody. They picked the wrong song in praise and worship or something. They stepped out and they stepped out to give a word of knowledge, and it wasn't actually God. But they messed up. They were doing their best. That's like getting on a bike and falling down and then saying the kid, you know, deserves jail or something. No, you did the best. You fell down. That's okay. But some people will get tormented about that. They'll feel bad about that. The devil will tell you you failed God. You got up. You know, you didn't preach on what you should or something. Stuff like that. You know, I messed up. I didn't complete the project on time, even though I did everything I knew to do. In good faith, you know, I misestimated. And they feel like they failed. They failed before God. Because a Christian would never do that. A Christian is a person of his word. You said this, you didn't fulfill it. You're wrong. And everything that you knew to do, you did it. That's not the same thing as lying about the estimate. That's not the same thing as going and stealing something to try to get in under the gate, under the deadline, and cheating. See, now that's a totally different thing. Do you see the difference? There's this over here where you're doing what you know to do. Any child that was constantly beat up for doing their best when they haven't actually done something wrong is going to be discouraged and beat up all the time. And Christians will be the same way. You'll feel like you, and that's when people start, they feel like they can't do anything right for God, or they're susceptible to falling into a way of believing that everything's okay because I've tried it, I've tried to live right, I've tried this walking in love, I can't do it. And what is actually, they're just saying they can't be perfect. They actually were doing an awesome job, but the devil convinced them that I just can't do it. So then what they fall into is it's okay to do anything. And when you cross that line, what happens is that your conscience will bother you because you're actually doing things. You can't tell the difference now. You've muddled it. Things that you actually are giving your best effort in and things that you're actually sinning in wrong, you throw it all in the same bucket and saying it's all okay because God loves me, and it's just turmoil. It's just constantly feeling bad. You can't love somebody if you're in that condition. Do you hear me? You can't love somebody if you're in that condition. You can't truly walk in love when you're confused about it yourself and feeling condemned all the time. The devil is so mean. But the thing is, if God told us to do something in the new covenant like he has here, then we can do it. And if we know the difference, and we know what love is and what love isn't, and we realize that there are certain things we're not obligated to do, and we step up and are confident of what we're doing for God, and confident that you don't have to do certain things, that God accepts you based on what he did, and you realize that the devil's lying to you and telling you to do stuff, and that has nothing to do with what God has told you to do, you get bolder. Now all of a sudden, you realize that the devil's been yanking your chain all this time, telling you, you ought to do this, you ought to do this, you ought to do this, you ought to do this for this person, or watch out, you're not walking in love, and if you're not walking in love, you're not going to qualify for the blessings, you're going to get sick. You're going to lose jobs. And so you've been constantly going around condemned, beat up, doing every little thing that comes to your head because you don't want to get in a position where you're out of love. And that is bondage. That is not God. That is not freedom. And that's not what Jesus bought and paid for us. When we realize that God has redeemed us, God has set us free, and that we are to follow him in walking in love, that we don't answer to everybody out here and every law that somebody makes. We're to follow the Holy Spirit, the love of God that's been poured out in our hearts. Now we can love, because first, we love ourselves. We're not trying to do all these things so that everybody else accepts us or somehow God accepts us. We realize we're accepted. We realize that if I just follow him and follow my heart and follow what's in the Word, don't go against that, but follow my heart and what the Spirit of God's saying, that I'm okay. And that when the enemy comes and says, yeah, but you did this, you say, I didn't do anything wrong. Show me the scripture where it says I did something wrong. No, I'm fine. Now get out of here. Shut up and leave. And some symptom comes on your body. And you say, well, the first thing you do is start looking for some reason why it came on your body. And instead of doing that, you say, you check your heart. God, did I open the door somewhere? No. Is there anything, Lord? You don't get any witness on the inside? Because the Lord will quicken it to you fast. If you did, He'll say, you did this. You know all you have to do? God, I'm sorry, I blew that. And if it takes, if I had to do something, your conscience would have been bothering you the whole time anyway. See, the devil tried to make like it's all this big web. You just never know. No, you know. You always know. Your heart will prick you. You might have overrode it, but then if something like this happens, you can say, God, is there anything? And immediately He would bring something back. Okay, I'll take care of that. If there's nothing, nope, there's nothing there. I haven't done anything. Nope, I'm fine. Then shut up, sickness, and leave my body right now. If you need to take care of it, take care of it. But God's not going to bring up a laundry list. And now you can be in boldness. You can be in strength. You say, I'm clean. I'm clear. I haven't done anything. I'm following God. Yeah, but you messed this up. Yeah, I messed that up. Probably not the last time I'm going to mess up. Bible didn't say anything about not messing up. Where's that? Where is the thou shalt not mess up? Thou shalt do everything perfect. Where is that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. Thou shalt color inside the lines. Where's that? Thou shalt nail it every time I step out to do something new for God. I got to do it perfect. Where is that? Answer is nowhere. Answer is, I actually, if God's not prompting me, the answer is, I am walking in love. The answer is, I have every right to walk in divine health right now. Right now. And nothing has any kind of legal right to be on my body. I'm fine. And if we stay there, see, now we can actually love other people. Because when I do something for you, I'm not looking to try to salve my conscience. I'm clear. God, what do you want me to do? I'm clear. As far as you know, I'm walking in love. I know what you told me to do. If I get off, you'll tell me. So I don't got to worry about that. I don't have to go drudge something up all the time. So now I'm okay. So now I can love you. Now I can actually hear Him and say, go do this for Connie. And I'm not doing it for Connie because I'm trying to, you know, do penance. Well, I did this. I bet, you know, if I've done enough, then I'll get there, and then I can earn my healing. Well, I better go make all this stuff right. No. I can say, hey, Becky, can I do this and this for you? And it's completely love-motivated. It's completely because I'm looking out for your best interest, not because I'm trying to take care of me. You see the difference? Do you believe we can do what God told us we can do? Do you also believe that the enemy is going to try to mess that up and muddy the waters so much that you think you can't do it? Yes. Yes, he will. Do you think God made everything about following Him really complicated? No. Let me ask you this again. What person would want you to think that following God is really, really complicated? Because if you think it's really, really complicated and only super spiritual people can do it, maybe you don't think you're super spiritual, so you're disqualified, so why serve God? I'm going over here and partying, man. I've tried that. You ever heard people? I've heard people. I tried. I couldn't do it. It's too hard. I couldn't do it. They're not living and they're not serving God. They're listening to the enemy, and the enemy will try to drive you away from God and tell you you can't do it. We already know we can't do it because that's why Jesus had to come. Which is what we're getting ready to celebrate here in a few days, right? We know He had to come because we couldn't earn ourselves. So we're going to mess up. It's not about that. It's about what we do and how we recognize it and how we live our lives. And when you do mess up, what do you do with it? And not taking this load of goods that's nonsense that we're always messing up when we're not. When it's about actually just walking out as a human being and learning and growing and gaining experience. That's not sinning. That's freedom. There's freedom in that. Doesn't make you want to go out and sin. That makes you want to jump up and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. When I do actually mess up and sin, I can go to it. We have an advocate with the Father. I said, Lord, I blew it. He said, I know you did. He said, but you came to me. So it's gone. Don't let anybody else come to you. You could stand up. And then when the enemy's whispering, he said, you messed up. I didn't sin against my Father. I didn't sin. I didn't do it right. And guess what? I'll do it better next time. But I didn't sin. I didn't do anything wrong. I just didn't. Maybe I got out of the lines a little bit. But hey, I'll do it better next time. But I didn't go in and purposely do anything against God. So don't give me this nonsense. Get out of here. Hallelujah. See, we have to know, we have to be settled in God's love for us before we can walk in love with other people, truly. You have got to be confident that the Lord loves you and He's not constantly hanging you out to dry and then saying, well, you messed up there. Oh, step out for me. You messed up. Why don't you try this? Oh, messed up again. You're just, gosh, why am I even dealing with you? Okay, try it again. See? You see that type of mentality? You feel like giving up. But if you're confident in the love of God that He loves me, He's not calling me out every little thing. I know what He expects of me, and I walk after Him, and I don't want to do anything against Him. And when somebody tries to tell me I'm supposed to do something that He hasn't told me, I don't take it. See, if you're like that, now you can truly love somebody else. Because loving is giving. You can't give what you don't have. Because what you're actually doing then is trying to buy some. You're always conscious. Does God? You may not voice it like this, but in the back of your mind, it's always like, I messed up here. I messed up there. You're not feeling confident. You're not feeling secure with what God has done for you. So when I'm interacting with, if you're like that, you're interacting with other people, it's always about you. It can't truly be about them, because as long as you're insecure with God and you, you can't truly care about anybody else. It's always, I'm going to do this right so that I'm okay. I'm going to treat you right. I may look good. I may smile real nice. I may do something. And they may be blessed. You know, I buy you something and they think, wow, that person's great. And inside you're like, man, I did that. Man, that should buy me at least a week of insurance there. Satan can't mess with me. Right? This is what the devil does. So it's always, it looks like it's a good game, but it's not motivated from the heart. It's not actually walking in love. It's works. It's you trying to earn something with God or trying to keep the devil away based on what you do. You can never do it. You will never do it. You will fall down trying, and you will pull your hair out trying. You can't walk in love without God's help, and you can't earn this. You can't do it. But if I'm secure that He loves me, I'm doing what I ought to be doing. Then I can go to you, you can go to your neighbor, you can go to your spouse, and you can actually love them. See, I'm gonna do this for you just because I want to. Just because I want to bless you. And I already know I'm taken care of. I already know who I am in the Lord. I already know what He said about me. So I'm okay. Then you can truly walk in love. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, man, we went. Hallelujah. God is good. If you try to run past this right here, what we've been talking about, and say, well, yeah, okay, I'm just going to go out and walk in love, but you don't settle this, and you don't realize what the enemy's tried to do with you, he will keep tripping you up on the same stuff. He'll keep you bound on the same stuff. We can hardly get into some of the stuff that we want to talk about here, because if you go in with the mentality that this is more stuff I have to do, it will crush you. Some of you probably don't even think you can handle another thing that somebody has to tell you that you have to do. And if that feels that way, that's because you're actually walking in performance, trying to do everything right for God, and that will crush any human being. It has for centuries. That's called religion. And that's why people throw up their hands and walk away from God, because they think that God is demanding something that they can't give him. And the fact is, that's why he sent Jesus. It's so that we could just rest in him, and we could walk in this earth, and we could truly love other people because he loved us, and it just becomes a flow from him right through us to other people. Amen. Hallelujah.